First Peter chapter 1, and we'll read a couple of verses there, and then we'll go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, read a couple of verses there, and then that'll kind of launch us into the topic for tonight. Apparently I'm supposed to have 5 minutes here, so I'll try and make it, give Caleb lots of time. Okay, so we'll read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Then if you go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And so the topic for tonight is holiness. And it actually came to my mind because I was just glancing through the Daily Bread, and maybe some of you recall that somebody had put a caption in there about holiness. And it got me thinking about holiness. And over the years, next month, my spiritual birthday will put me at 40 years. And it's gone by so fast. And I've seen a lot over the years, as most of us have probably been saved for a while. And, you know, one of the struggles that I've seen is the matter of just to be a holy, godly person, just to make it. It's a fine balance, because you don't want to be, you want to be separate, you want to be holy, you want to be set apart, you want to be, but you don't want to be, it's not a case of being critical and looking at people to make sure they're measuring up. And sometimes when you talk about holiness, people think, oh, all we're doing now is we're giving it grounds to critique one another's lifestyles to make sure that we're all living a certain way. And that's certainly not the idea of the message tonight. But I think, as I also say that quite often we could look at our lives and say, you know, am I really living a holy life? Am I living a life that is separated unto the Lord, that people can see a difference, that people can tell that there's not just a natural man, as the Bible calls it, but there's somebody who is spiritual. And quite often, sometimes we think, well, you know, you get the choice. You can either be happy or you can be holy, right? You kind of tend to think that somebody who is holy is just, well, they're not happy, but they're holy, you know, and they've sort of seen all over their face that they're kind of living this life that is, it's a bit of a strain, it's a bit of an effort, it's kind of, they're not doing the things because they're not supposed to. That's not really holiness. Holiness will bring about happiness. Because this is the life that God would have us to live, and if truly if we're living a holy life, we'll also be living a happy life in the Lord and rejoicing in what He's done. And so, why should we be holy? Well, as we've just been looking in First Peter chapter 1, it says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." God is a holy God, and you know there's no darkness in Him. Sin, there's no wickedness, there's nothing about God that anybody could critique, because He's a holy God. He's separate, and so He calls us to be the same thing. He wants us also to be a holy people, and He's lifted us out of the miry clay. He set our feet upon a rock and established our going, and He didn't do that so that we could, you know, just momentarily get a little bit cleaned off, then dive right back into the world again and live a life that is degrading. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43, verse 6 and 7 says this, "I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." So we can see here that God calls people for His glory, to be lived out a life that people can see us and see that God has done something for us. And we glorify the Lord in the way we live and how we conduct ourselves. There's a difference. There's a total different way that we live than the world lives. It's just God. It says here over here in Psalm 40, and I did just allude to it, but I love this psalm, and it just gives a great testimony of, I think, anybody who is truly born again, who is truly saved, this really ought to be the testimony that David had here. And he says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Here's David's testimony about what God has done for him, and how he brought him out of the miry clay, and set his feet upon a rock, and established his going. And truly, those of us who are saved, that kind of life shows, doesn't it? That kind of life, you don't miss it, because it's so different. It's so unlike the world. The world, they're always edging. I work on a construction site, and most of the people, it's a good place to let your light shine, really. But, I mean, when you hear the conversation, when they go for their breaks, when you see that, we hear the language, just Brother Tricky preached this morning about our talk, and when you hear the language and see the way they act with each other, and you know, we as believers, we're set apart. God has called us, he saved us, and he set us apart to live a life that is so different than all that, so transforming. And God's vision for his people is amazing. He wants us to be a people that others can see and glorify him over. Not us. You know, sometimes we want that, you know, people pat us on the back. Well, you know, you don't do that. Oh, good for you. You know, you're so smart. You're so wise. No, it's not. I love that message Pastor preached a few weeks ago about the way that the Word of God, in a sense, I'm summing it up here. We have such an advantage when we have the Bible. It makes us look, I mean, some people think it's weird, but really it makes us seem so wise and so, like more, like David said, I have more wisdom than my teachers and more knowledge and understanding than my teachers, because all you've got to do is read your Bible every day, come to church and listen to the preaching and live by it, and you gain so much. You gain so much wisdom, so much understanding of life. And people will look at you thinking, wow, that's right. How do you figure that out? Well, I didn't really. The Bible just teaches this kind of thing. And so we are to be holy people, distinct people. And so 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell within us, then we're none of his. So the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And it's a very interesting term, the Holy Spirit, right? Because he's holy. And if he dwells within us, be holy, for I am holy, God says. And then he puts his Spirit within us so that we have the power and the understanding to live a holy life, to be a people who are indeed holy. And so the question tonight is, are you holy? It's kind of a question not too often asked, really, isn't it? How many times would you expect somebody to come along to you and say, are you holy? And what would your answer be? Would you say, yeah, I'm holy? Well, you might think, oh, I would never say that, you know, because that doesn't sound. But are you holy? Would you consider yourself a holy person? Would other people consider you to be holy? But most importantly, would God consider you to be holy? Well, the truth of the matter is, if you're a Christian, he does consider you holy. Because we have the righteousness of Christ, and we are set apart. That's why he calls us saints. And a saint is somebody who is holy. That's the same word. It's the saint and holy. It comes from the same word. So the fact that we are saints means that we are holy in our standing. So God basically is telling us there in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, that he wants our lives practically to match up with what he's done for us positionally. So he wants us to be the kind of people that he saved us and he sees us to be. He wants us to live that way so that we are indeed holy. So we are to be set apart. Now, there's a few verses if you turn with me to Titus chapter 2. there's certain adjectives that we may not necessarily want to be called. Actually, there's a lot of things that we wouldn't want to be called, but there's certain things here that one word that you know, if somebody calls me this, it may not necessarily be a compliment. In verse 14 of Titus chapter 2, he says, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Peculiar people. We are supposed to be a peculiar people. And that is something that we perhaps don't, we would rather sort of fit in, wouldn't we? In life, generally, we like to fit in. Nobody wants to stand out. I remember being back in school, and if everybody's wearing Levi jeans, I want a pair of Levi jeans. You know, and everybody's wearing a denim jacket, I want, this is back in the 70s, really. Everybody's wearing a denim jacket, I want a denim jacket. You know, if everybody wants, the trend in grade 8, I can see now, and I don't know why, everybody had to wear Kodiak work boots in school. I don't know if you remember this, but... So you're kind of like, oh man, I wish I had some Kodiak work boots so I'd fit in. You know, I mean, it's just natural, right? We want to fit in to the surrounding, the people around us. God calls us to come on out and stand out and be somewhat different. There's nothing wrong with wearing Kodiak boots. I mean, it's not. In fact, I need them now for work. But the thing is, our natural tendency is we want to fit in. We want to be incognito. We want to be accepted. We want to say, oh yeah, he's okay too because he does what I do, right? And the world has that draw on us, that pull on us. And before we know it, if we're not careful, we can be transgressing principles that God gives us in his word to fit in. You know, we might want to wear the same things. And the things that we're supposed to wear, it might not be what God wants us to wear, right? And especially when it comes to things like modesty and so on. So, and we kind of, that's where the struggle comes in. That's where it gets a little bit difficult. But God calls us to this. I got a quote here by C.H. Spurgeon. I found this, and I thought it was very interesting. He says here, "There's nothing which my heart desires more than to see you, the members of this church, distinguished for holiness. It is the Christian's crown and glory. An unholy church, it is of no use to the world and of no esteem among men. Oh, that it is an abomination, hell's laughter, heaven's abhorrence. And the larger the church, the more influential. The worst nuisance does it become when it becomes unholy. The worst evils which have ever come upon the world have been brought upon her by an unholy church." And I think there's a lot of truth in that. You know, we need to be people who are known for holiness. Much as we might feel like we'd like to fit in, but we're not supposed to fit in. We're not supposed to blend into the world. We're supposed to stand out. We're supposed to be approachable. We're supposed to be sensible. We're supposed to be loving and all those things. But when it comes to, there's a line that you can't cross to fit in when God has saved you to be one of his. There's just a few verses I'd like to bring to us from the New Testament. Romans chapter 6, we'll just go through them from Romans to the heading towards the end of the New Testament. Romans chapter 6, verse 18. And 19, "Being then made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness and to holiness." There was a time when our members, everything about us was for the world. It was for iniquity. It was just doing the things that we wanted to do in a way that we wanted to do it. And we really didn't care a whole lot about, you know, it was just all about us and the things we want to do. But now we yield our members, all that we are, from head to toe, our hearts, our minds, our hands, our feet. And those are members of Christ. And we are still yield them unto Christ as servants, as members of to righteousness, unto holiness. And so this is the and there's a lot. Look at chapter 6, verse 22. But now, being made free from sin and become the servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. And of course, we know the verse, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But being made free from sin, I don't think we really realize what a blessing it is to be made free from sin. You know, when you think about the chains of sin that hold so many, many people, and you see them as you go by in your life, and you see them with just blinded and lost and going on their way, and to be made free from sin is honestly has to be the greatest joy, to know that we are free from this sin and given a life of holiness. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I'll be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And I go on into verse 7. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And so we can see the difference that it's made to come out from the world and be separate. And I like that verse there in chapter 7, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. It's a perfecting thing. It isn't like we all of a sudden arrive. We're continually perfecting it. It's like we're working on it. It's like you're making something, and you kind of keep working on it, keep perfecting it, keep improving it. And you know, we all have room for improvement, right? And that's why it's a dangerous thing to go pointing fingers at each other who've been saved this long or that long. I mean, I expect more out of myself, to be honest, after being saved for 40 years than I expect of somebody else who, you know, just joined with us in the last little while. So, but we're perfecting it, and we're making it better and better. As time goes on, our life should become more holy, more separate, more distinct, because that's just what God calls us to be. Ephesians chapter 4. Pastor Tricky was preaching on this morning, but I might just bump into his passage a little bit. But it really brings the same thing here. Verse 17. He says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." Watch carefully as we read through these verses, because they're very pictorial. The Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to walk in all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And you know what? We could just keep on reading and reading and reading, because it's all talking about the new life in Christ and how it changes us and how inside we're not the same people. Now, you know, the people in the world, we've been taught Christ. We've been taught by Christ. We've learned Christ. And we've been changed by the Holy Spirit within us. So we are to grow and keep growing. We have no excuse. Now, the unsaved, it says here that about them in verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of the heart. They have no understanding. They don't understand. They're blindly going on their way. They're ignorant. The Bible says in Proverbs, they know not at what they stumble. They're stumbling, they're bumbling along, they don't know. But you and I do. We see the way they live, we see the way they dress, we see the way that they don't do things right, we see them getting involved in things that they do. We say, you know, that's not right. That's all they know. But let us not us do the same thing as them, because we do know, right? We have no excuse. So let's not try and imitate them and the things that they're doing, because they're just stumbling along in the dark. We're not. We've got the light of God's word. We've got the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And we have no excuse to try and live this life where we're more enthralled with the world and its ways and its philosophies and its whole culture. We have the separated unto God life that we can live for His glory. And for the salvation of souls that are seeing a difference. If they see no difference, there's very little chance that we're going to be able to share with them the gospel and see them saved. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 13, to the end that He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. So the end that He may establish our hearts unblameable in holiness before God. Well, He already has done that. He's established, that's our standing, and when He comes back. But I would rather Him come back and find me living a life of holiness, not that I just have to depend upon the fact that He has made me holy and standing. I want to come back and find me, and I think we should all say the same thing. We should all desire to be holy people when He returns. And then I have just two more passages, and then I'll wind it up here. But Titus chapter 2, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier, Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with, or am I in Timothy? I should be in Titus, shouldn't I? I could probably make that fit somehow. But okay, Titus chapter 2, verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. I think here we can see that we are to be examples even as older to the younger. And so we need to be living as becometh holiness. And then we'll go over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10. For verily, for a few days chastened, chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. And then verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And so we are to follow after holiness. And God is in the business, as we see in verse 10 there, of bringing us to holiness. And sometimes it may not be a very pleasant experience if we are self-willed. Because as a parent, he chastises us and creates within us. He opens our eyes to see where we're at and brings us to places that we may not want to go if we are stubbornly refusing to be the people that He has called us to be. God takes it very seriously. We need to take it seriously too. The Bible says that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So we're His workmanship, and God takes it seriously, this matter of us being the people that we're supposed to be, and we need to take it seriously too. Let's pray. Father in